setting the pace on the pursuit of happiness. This is The Ken Coleman Show, where you discover what you were born to do and how to make it happen. Now, helping you get unstuck and on the path to your dream job, America's career coach, Ken Coleman.
All right, welcome. We are coming to you live from Ramsey Solutions Studios in Nashville, and you've joined a conversation about you and your purpose, specifically what you were born to do, where you can do it, how to get there. That is why we are here. You were created to make a unique role, and that means you're really valuable. And it also means you need to do it. You can't just look at this, you know, well, I don't know. It feels like it might take too long, cost too much. I don't know. I might fail. And this purpose is reverberating in your chest. It cannot be, should not be dismissed. We want you to own it. It is possible that you can make the income that you need and the impact that you want. And there are seven stages that'll get you there. It's a clear path. Get clear on what you do best, the work you love to do, the results you want to create, and then how you can do that occupationally, professionally. That's stage one. Stage two is get qualified to be able to do it. Stage three is we get connected, many times while we're getting qualified, for opportunities. Stage four is once we get started, we're now there, starting. We're in. Stage five is get promoted. You'll be in stage five for most of your professional journey as you keep moving up, 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 up to a desirable dream. Some get there faster than others. Get the dream job, stage six. Stage seven is give yourself away. It's I'm now working for impact and legacy. 844-747-2577 is the phone number. 844-747-2577, the phone number to jump in. We'd love to have you on. But real quick, we get a lot of emails, a lot of social posts, questions about mentors, because mentors are so huge to our progress, to our journey. So real quick, I'm going to take a little bit from my best-selling book, The Proximity Principle, where one of the five archetypes of people in the book is the mentor. And so I'm just going to give you just a really simple demystifying list of actions, three simple actions that allow you to identify and get a mentor. Number one, the first thing you do is make a list of the people that could be mentors. Don't make it so industry specific. At the end of the day, we're looking for knowledge and wisdom in a variety of areas. You might need an industry specific mentor. That's fine. But make a list of potential candidates. And they must be this. Somebody that is obviously you admire them and they are successful. You admire them for professional and personal traits. They're very successful. So when they give you some knowledge and wisdom, it's coming from a place of credibility. Number two, make sure that you list out what it is you really want to learn. What knowledge are you looking for? What wisdom are you looking for? Knowledge are facts. Wisdom is insight into maybe some choices that you can make. Knowledge and wisdom. Make a list of what specifically you're looking for. Because here's the deal. People that might be a potential mentor to you are still going to want to know, what is it that you're looking for? Can I add value to you? And if I'm fired up about it, there's more of a chance that I'm going to say yes to you, to mentor you. And the third item, schedule that first conversation. Don't come on too strong. Don't say, hey, I want you to mentor me once a month the next year. It's like the guy who's asking a girl, talking about marriage on the first date. Whoa, slow down. Slow down. These people have a lot going on in their life. They have a finite amount of time, their most valuable resource that they can give you. Ease into the conversation. In that very first conversation, come with humility. Hey, I'm not where I want to be. You're somebody that I admire. I think you can add value to me. I have some specific things that I want to ask you about today, things that I'd like to maybe have an ongoing conversation, but here's where I am. That's humility and hunger. And then they decide whether or not they want to continue the conversation. Those three things, those actions, those items there will blow the intimidation factor off of seeking and finding and building a relationship with a mentor. Don't make it too complicated. People do want to help. 844-747-2577 is the phone number to jump in. Let's do it. Amber starts us off in Omaha, Nebraska. Amber, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Ken. How are you?
I'm living the dream, Amber. What are you doing?
Oh, trying to.
All right. I like it.
So I have been a nurse for about 9 years, and I've been in my certain field for about 6 years. Mm-hmm. And in 2018, I was promised a promotion by my supervisor at the time, as long as I obtained my master's degree. Mm-hmm. So I graduated in 2019, and she retired in like that December. And like I was involved in many educational and process improvement tasks and just felt very valued by her. Mm-hmm. So when she retired, I approached her about the position, and it was decided that I needed more experience. So that was kind of slap in the face, and so I didn't get the position. So there's now a new manager, and she keeps telling me, like, I'm going to be involved in all this type of stuff, and, like, since last year, and it just seems like most of them just, she never follows through with them. So, and then I'm also getting told that once one of the team leads retire, I could apply for their job and get their job. But of course, trust is a problem right now with that. But I signed a contract for 5 years that I would stay in the health system. So I still have about 3 more years to go. And if I would leave this hospital, I would have to pay back $15,000. But we're on baby step two, so obviously that's not an option.
Right.
So I guess, like, what can I do? Because for one, I mean, I just need more challenge. I'm so bored with what I'm doing. I love to educate people. I love to develop processes and, you know, process improvement. And I'm just getting nowhere where I am.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I'm sorry, because this is frustrating. I can hear the frustration all over you. And this is, this sounds like really poor leadership.
Yes.
And you may be very limited. Let me ask a question on that to make sure I fully understand. I understand if you leave the hospital, then you'd break the contract. You have to owe them $15,000. I understand that. And I understand that's not an option. But when you said the system, could you stay, when you said system versus hospital, are there other opportunities in different environments where maybe you've got better leadership, or are you stuck in this actual hospital and in this department?
Like, not in this specific department. So I can go like throughout the hospital, but we are a system that has different hospitals within it. And I am not allowed to go to those hospitals. So I have to stay in this one hospital.
Got it.
And so I've looked like every day, you know, looking at positions, and every single position for supervisors are, you have to have at least 3 years of upper level experience. Well, I can't get the experience because they're not letting me.
Right.
So,
well, why is that? So I understand that the one supervisor who you really liked and poured into you, she made a promise that she couldn't back up, sounds like, because she retired.
Correct.
The new person came in and said, you don't have enough experience. Is that your current supervisor?
Well, no. So like my supervisor that told me I would get her job ended up saying that I need more experience.
Oh, so she changed.
So then they hired this, which I don't think it was really her decision. I think it was a higher up decision.
Yeah, and she's retired though. She's gone.
Yeah, she is. Yes.
Right.
And so now there's the new manager. Yeah.
And so the new manager is the one that you're saying, hey, I want more. I want to do more. And this is tough. Hang on the line. I got to go do a break. I'm going to give you some specific advice here. Hold on. If you're considering a career in technology, I recommend Bethel Tech, and I'm not alone. Brendan said, before Bethel Tech, I was driving Uber. Within 4 months of graduating, I got a job paying $60,000. About 2 years after that, I got a remote job that pays $130,000, all thanks to what I learned at Bethel Tech. This is what I want for you folks. Get started today at BethelTech.net and get $1,000 to $2,500 off your tuition. That's BethelTech.net/Ken Coleman. That's BethelTech.net/Ken Coleman. Helping you move from paycheck to purpose, this is the Ken Coleman Show, coming to you from our Nashville studios at Ramsey Solutions Worldwide Headquarters. Thrilled to have you with us. 844-747-2577 is the number. Before we went to break, ran out a little bit of time here. Amber's in a tough spot, and I wanted to hold her over because I think there's a lot of people that are in this position. So I'm going to set this up. We'll bring her back in here. So Amber is a nurse. Amber was promised a promotion. She went and got her master's degree. She's, you know, I think demonstrably kind of laid out a case for moving up, and she's not getting where she's hitting the ceiling. Promises aren't being kept. But she's in baby step two. For those of you that may be new to that kind of language, Dave Ramsey's seven baby steps to financial peace. Baby step two, after baby step one, of putting $1,000 in the bank for an emergency. Then baby step two is you take all of your debts and you list them smallest debt to largest, and you take out the smallest and then the next biggest, the next. So you go small to large, so you get momentum. So they're paying off debt. If she leaves, she's got 3 years left on her contract where she's exclusive to this hospital. She owes the hospital $15,000. That's not an option. So she is feeling stuck, and she should feel that way. But she has limited options. So we're going to walk through this. All right, let's bring her back on. Amber, did I set that up well? Hello, Amber.
Hey.
There you are. Did I set that up well? Did I get it all right for you?
Yes.
All right. So yes. Here's the challenge. Because you're in baby step two and you need the money, then the $15,000 buyout isn't an option. So we've got two options. One, we try to really go against the grain, swim upstream into poor leadership, and convince them that they need to promote you. Okay? All right? Or we just tough it out until the 3 years is up. Because you leaving is not an option. I guess I could probably throw in a third option, is you convincing them to let you go. So I'll put that on paper so that we exhaust the options. Is that a fair option? I don't know if it's successful, but we could try it, correct?
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. All right, we'll take it back off the table. I was trying to be complete. All right? So option one, convince them, and let's see if we can lead leadership into giving you the promotion you desire, or you're going to have to just stick it out. Am I correct?
Yes, but I mean, nobody's leaving, so I really can't do anything in that department at this point.
Well, you don't know that nobody's leaving. As of right now, no one's leaving.
No, there's not, no.
All right, but my point is that unless I'm missing something, that's what we're dealing with today. That's why you called, correct?
Yes.
So we have to still convince them, even though a position for a supervisor is not currently open, we've got to convince them that you, in fact, do have the experience, or that you're ready for the next level of experience. Isn't that why you called? Isn't that true?
Yes.
Okay. So the way you do that is you got to ask them first and foremost, hey, based on the history of the conversation leading up to this point, what am I still missing, or have I put in the requisite amount of time to get the experience? Have I developed the skills in the areas where you didn't think I have? You've got to ask them to detail that out for you. Where are there any deficiencies, if any at all? So that they now are in a conversation where they hear a good spirit from you, a good attitude. Hey, this is what's been told to me in the past. Am I there? Have I met it? So that if a position opens, I now, at least on paper, am qualified. That's what has to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Because what you don't want to happen is an unexpected, somebody leaves, and then you didn't have this conversation with them, and you're trying to convince them at this point. You need to convince them now before a position opens. And so the way you do that is you got to put really positive pressure on them. Say, hey, what can I do? I want to grow. I'm ready for the next challenge. I know a position isn't open now. Here's what's happened in the past. They need to hear and see humility and hunger, not agitation and anger.
Mm-hmm.
That's the best advice I can give you. Anything else?
I don't think so.
I mean, you're kind of limited. I want to make sure I haven't missed anything. That's why you called, correct?
Yeah. So, I mean, like, how can I get, like, even if I would go to like a different department, like I'm limited because I have no experience. Like, is it still wise to still apply for those or no?
Well, see, when somebody asks you that question, I don't understand what's behind the question. Either you have the experience or you don't, but everybody who gets into that position eventually, I mean, they have to have the experience. How do they get the experience? It's not like you're on an island.
Right.
I mean, how did the other ladies or other nurses get the experience that you need?
They had supervisory experience somewhere else. or in a different department.
Right. So I guess what I'm saying is you've got to go get it the way everybody else got it. It's not like it's not like there's some mystery. How do I get experience? I get this call a lot. Hey, Ken, I'm applying for these positions. They keep telling me I need experience. I don't know what to do. How can I get the position if I can't get the experience? I'm like, well, it doesn't make any sense. Somebody got the experience. A lot of somebody's got the experience that got the positions that you're applying for. If you don't have the experience, go get the experience. Let me tell you what that means. That means you got to lower your sights a little bit. It's not some big cosmic joke these people are playing on you folks. Oh, I know what we'll tell them. We don't want to hire them, but let's tell them they need experience. Well, wait. What experience do you need for the job? Go get that experience. We got to stop making this grand mystery. Yeah. Let me just do this. I'm going to a little mini rant here. If I want to be in any position, we'll call this position X, and the job description for position X says you need experience, and it's going to be in one of two ways. They're always going to say you need experience doing something, and then many times they'll put a numerical value on it. So minimum 2 years experience, for an example. Okay. I get this question a lot, so I'm going to really unpack this because it's like a mental block for a lot of people. And I'm not picking on Amber, by the way. Okay. But I get this all the time. All right. So once we see they're looking for experience in these tasks or these roles, and they're looking for a certain amount. So then we go, well, I don't have that, Ken. So what do I do? Well, sure, you can apply for it, but we might as well also buy a couple lottery tickets while we're at it. If they mean what they say they mean, that you need the experience, so you go, well, I don't know where to go get it. That's not true. You're frustrated because you think, well, I've got enough. So here's the case you must make. If you're applying, and I get a lot of people say, Ken, I applied for a position. I said, I didn't have the right experience, and how do I get the experience? It's like, did you think it was a joke? So what transferable experience do you have? Have you led people in another industry? That to me is still relevant. There are nuances to leadership in industry-specific roles. But the reality is that if you've led a team before and you're applying for a leadership position, even if it's from a different industry, there are relevant experiences. So you've got to, when applying and when in an interviewing setting, you've got to express that. But here's the reality. Most of the times we just need to look at it and go, they're saying I need to have experience doing this and this much of it. So now I'm going to have to go do that. I might have to be patient. I might have to pay my dues. This is not a novel concept, but it's really hard for us humans. I get it. But you're going to have to back up and go, well, I thought I could leapfrog. Apparently, I can't. I'm going to have to go pay my dues and go get this experience. And then when I get the experience, maybe I've only got a year and I'm applying for something that needs two. Then I might be able to circumvent the old job requirement. But you're going to have to get the experience. So go get it. Talk to people who have done it, who are in the position, and say, what kind of experience specifically do I need? Where can I get it? What are the multiple places? So here we got a lady who wants to be a supervisor. She doesn't have any supervisor experience. They say you got to have experience. Well, then go somewhere in a different health system after the 3-year contract is up and go get a supervisor role. That's what you got to do. Don't overcomplicate it. But you got to pay your dues. I just don't know another way around it. This is the Ken Coleman Show. The Ken Coleman Show is back. Thanks for joining us. 844-747-2577. Helping men and women get clear, get confident, and get courage to step out and be who they were created to be. Thanks to our YouTube audience, our SiriusXM audience, our talk radio audience that is syndicated around the country, And the podcast audience gives us an international audience because of the on-demand, and this is exciting. Let's go to Lisbon, Portugal. Felipe joins us there. Felipe, you're on the Ken Coleman Show. Hello.
Hi, Ken. Thank you for taking my call.
You bet.
How are you?
I'm living the dream. What's up?
Great. So I'm 38. I've worked in banking all my life, and I'm kind of tired and want something else.
Okay.
I've been listening to you for a couple of months, and I believe I found my passion, which is helping people here in Portugal with their finances.
With their finances.
So kind of, yes, with their finances.
Is this so as a bank, like a retirement advisor, an investment? Okay, so
no, more like.
So I tell you what we're going to do, because that's going to drive the audience nuts and me nuts, and I apologize. Let's see if we can fix that feedback thing. I don't know, Joe. Can you figure that out? If not, let's try to figure that out. I get it. I get that he's on the other side of the world, but we got to see if we can figure that. If not, we'll try another day. Let's go to New Orleans, Louisiana, where Wendy is. Wendy, you're on the Ken Coleman Show. Hello.
Hello.
Hello, Wendy.
Hi. Sorry.
It's okay.
How are you doing today?
I'm living the dream. How can I help you, Wendy?
So I am recently laid off.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And I guess I kind of find myself in a place to where I'm reevaluating my next step. I've always just kind of, I've worked for the past 10 years, mm-hmm. More like survival, not really focused on anything more than paying bills.
Uh-huh.
And at this point in my life, I'm just questioning, should I look into more? Like, I've never really considered a career.
Yes, the answer is yes, you should. However, if what I'm hearing is telling me that you've got some real financial issues, if you don't get employed pretty quick, then we want to establish that first. Is that the case?
Yeah.
Okay, so here's where we go. We first want to take care of the now, the day job. And then we begin to focus on the dream job. Now, I'll talk with you about that. And we'll see what we can figure out on that and a path which will really help you, by the way, in this day job. You know, if you had known for all these years, Wendy, what you were supposed to do professionally, it would have helped you get through all this and just kind of not, it's like, well, I'm doing this thing and it's not what I love, but it's getting me prepared to do the thing that I love. That'd be a lot better deal, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
All right, so let's start that over, all right? So we'll get to day job in a second. But when somebody calls me and goes, hey, I've never really tried this, I always feel like there's some idea deep down in your heart, maybe top of heart, depending on how much time you've been thinking about it. And I want you to suspend fear of failure. I want you to suspend doubt that you have what it takes or that you can get there. What would you do tomorrow, Wendy, if you knew you couldn't fail and you knew you were going to be wildly successful, but you didn't even have to commit to it for 30 years? What would you do?
I guess counseling.
Interesting. Who would you counsel? Who would you love? Think of a full day of counseling. People are coming into your office and you're spending an hour, 2 hours with them at a time. Who are you, when you drive home that night, who are you so fulfilled to help that day?
Someone, I guess like just needing to heal. Like I don't have anything specific.
Okay.
Yeah,
but you have an idea. They're healing from what? Emotional, mental?
Yeah.
Okay.
Why? Emotional, I guess.
Yeah, why? Tell me the why behind that. There's a why behind that idea that you've thought about. Tell me. It's either something from an observance or something that you've experienced. Tell me the why.
Yeah. In my life, it's just kind of something I've always done. You know, as a child, I was leaned on heavily as an emotional support, and I just have always been in that role, and it just...
Pretty awesome. So, yeah, it feels good when someone comes to you and says, hey, Wendy, I need your advice on something. Tell me what happens mm-hmm. when somebody comes to you and says that. Describe what that ends up being like, and what does it feel like?
just kind of, you know, I just want to get to know where they're at and what it is that kind of get to the root of where they're at. And from there, help them walk forward and finding their way out.
Yeah. So when you advise them, give me a recent story where you gave somebody some advice and how did they react?
I guess I have a friend, you know, dealing with a recent breakup and just kind of walking it through with her and helping her realize her worth and her value.
How did she react? And when you were done advising her and you guys said goodbye, how was she acting towards you?
She was more confident.
Yeah. What else? Anything else?
Relieved. She felt better.
Yeah. How did you feel when she left you that way? How'd you feel?
I felt like I'd done something worthwhile.
Yeah.
Something, you know, I'd helped her.
Yeah. Do you have the gift, the talent, the skill of communicating and connecting with people?
Yeah.
Yep. Do you have the gift of discernment?
Yeah.
Do you have the gift of persuasion?
Yeah.
Oh, we got a chuckle out of her, Joe. See, when that happens, folks, by the way, that's someone realizing and she's awakening to who she is. Oh, Wendy, we're having fun now. Wendy, that's what we call talent. You've heard me talk about that. Let's talk about passion, work you love. I'm going to take a wild guess that you love the work of advising people.
Yeah.
Oh, how did I know that? Counseling. We know that. Analyzing. You like analyzing people. And for the whole reason, now let's talk about mission. The missional result. You love influencing people to make change in their life. That's the result that drives you.
Yeah.
Okay, so here's what we just did. We just did a quick sweet spot. We did a quick self-awareness exercise. And now you know what your sweet spot is. You've got to be doing work that allows you to use your talents of communicating and connecting and persuading. You've got to be doing work where you're counseling, advising, almost teaching, if you will, influencing, for the whole purpose of driving behavioral change, influence. So counseling is that. So here's the deal. Counseling requires a degree, if that's where you're going to go. Social work may or may not require a degree. I think it does. So what you have to do now is go, okay, I know all the different types of work, or if I don't know, I'm going to go do some research. And I'll find all the different types of work that allow me to be in my sweet spot to do what Ken and I talk through. Now I start focusing on, well, what does it take to get qualified? This is still stage one of getting clear. What could I do and what does it take to get qualified? At which point we eventually put a plan together to start stage two, which is to get qualified to do it. But here's the challenge. You got to have a day job to where you're stable financially, can save up the money or cash flow your way through the qualification process. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Okay, so here's the deal. This is not so scary anymore. It's going to take some hard work and some patience. But go get yourself a day job. Maybe if it's a receptionist, I'm making this up, for a counseling center, boom. There's a day job, but it gets you in proximity to the dream job. Do you understand that analogy?
Yeah.
So here's my point. Don't overthink this. Get yourself a steady day job. And now for the first time in your working career, that day job is setting you up to eventually step into the dream job. Cash flow your way through it, and you're going to get there. But go do the homework. The answers are waiting for you. This is the Ken Coleman Show. All right, folks, welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show. Thrilled to have you with us. 844-747-2577, helping you discover what you were created to do and develop a plan to be able to make that dream job a reality. 844-747-2577 is the number. Let's go to Davinder, who now joins us in British Columbia, Canada. Davinder, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hey, Ken, how's it going?
I'm living the dream, Davinder. What's up?
So the issue that I'm having right now is I'm having trouble with the direction of my career. Right now, I'm working as an accountant, and for some reason, I'm doing my higher level of schooling that the company's paying for as well, too, mm-hmm. Which is a CPA program, but then I'm just not sure if that's what I want to do for the rest of my career.
Yeah.
And I just don't know the directions that I can head in.
Yeah.
And that's like kind of where I'm stuck at. And so I'm just not sure where I want to head.
Yeah, know? I think you, the way you worded that, I'm a little confused, because knowing the specifics of the industry that you're in and kind of mm-hmm. where you think you want to go, when someone says, well, I don't know which way I want to go, I think you actually know the direction. I think it's direction is one thing. Which mm-hmm. lane to take, which route to take, right? If I pull up an address on my phone and I say, okay, I punch this in, I'm going here, usually it gives me two or three different routes, correct? Yeah. It feels like it's more that. Am I right or am I wrong? I don't mind being wrong, but I'm trying to really narrow down where you're feeling like you're lost or stuck. Help me understand that a little bit more.
So I do think you're right in a sense that it is a lane, because what in my past year, last year, I've been out of school from university for a little while, and I didn't do this program.
Uh-huh.
I've just been trying to do different things, and that was for about a few years. And then last year, where I got laid off during COVID, and this came up through my network, and so I applied for the position, ended up getting this job. And so I just felt as if I needed that direction, so that's why I'm doing it. I started it. It's been a bit for about 8 months now.
Right, but so let me. So I'm cutting you off because we have limited time.
Yeah.
So I'm right. I thought I was. Mm-hmm. So why don't you just take a stab at what you think could be an amazing potential dream job in the direction you want to go, the industry you think you want to go in? Give me an answer. Not holding you to it. Just say it.
Honestly, that's kind of the thing I'm not sure about. I've looked at certain things. One thing I would say, corporate development. That was something I was interested in, but it doesn't seem like it's something.
That's fine. Well, let's go ABC. So corporate development's one. What's another one that you're thinking about?
The other one I thought about is not even related to it. It's been in real estate, something I do within real estate, especially in the area that I live in. Real estate's always blooming, so something that I've always been interested in.
Okay. What is there another one? Real quick, hit me with it.
Another one, something in finance. I don't want to be in accounting for the rest of my life, so that's something I want. For me personally, I feel as if I'd be talking to people. I want to be more in a client-facing role. That's what I want to do.
Yeah. So of the three, of those three things, if you could only choose one today, but you knew you couldn't fail, which one would you choose?
So you're going to fail?
Yeah. Can't fail. Guaranteed success. One of those three you just gave me, which one would you choose? You can only choose one. You've already come up with the answer. You've already answered it. Say what's on your mind.
It has to be between one of the first two, either corporate development or something in real estate, like an agent or...
Yeah, that's what I think. I think your homework lies there. Mm-hmm. You got to keep wrestling with what is the kind of work that makes my heart sing? And you gave me one clue. I think it's people. You like doing people things, and you're good with people skills. Is that true?
Mm-hmm. Correct.
All right, so there's a big clue. You want to be working with people, all right? So mm-hmm. then the next thing was, what is the next major talent? You know, do you have that logic, that math mind? Are you really strong in that area?
I personally think I am not as strong as I need to be.
Okay, that's fine. What would you say is, so I'm running out of time. Real quick, what's another talent besides people? One of your top skills? Tell me right now. Say it.
I would say investing. I love doing that.
So there's the numbers play again. I'd look into people-facing jobs that are around numbers and investing. I think that's where you need to look. Start there. All right, folks, welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show, where we help you do what you were born to do. Get where you want to be professionally, whether that's getting started in something or it's moving up the ladder so you can eventually get in the dream job. And thrilled to partner with ZipRecruiter, the number one job site in the world. ZipRecruiter.com/Ken is where you go. Take you just a few minutes to fill out a profile. And then you hit go, and ZipRecruiter starts pushing out your profile to companies that are paying them for you, access to you. So then the company gets interested in you and they reach out to you directly and say, apply. This takes a lot of the yucky, nasty rejection and all that out of the job search process. And here's why I'm endorsing them. That process I just described to you is so amazingly efficient and it's enjoyable for you, but it's also free to you. It doesn't cost you any money to sign up at all. ZipRecruiter.com/Ken. ZipRecruiter.com/Ken. All right, let's go to Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. I've never been there, but my parents have, and they say it is absolutely fabulous. So I got to get out to Coeur d'Alene. I really do. But John is there. Let's help John. John, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hey, how are you doing today, Ken?
John, I'm living the dream. What are you doing?
Oh, I'm trying.
All right. Let's help. What's going on?
Okay, so I work for a small business that has treated me very well. It's very close-knit, and it feels like a family, right?
Mm-hmm.
Super. Can't say enough good things about these people. They're great. Yeah. But my income, so I'm married, and we're in baby step 3B. I'd say we're out of debt. We have money saved up, you know, saving up for a house and whatnot.
Okay.
But there's a business opportunity to work for a family member, several hours away. And it's not the most ideal dream job for me personally, but within 2 years, my family member said I'm projected to make six figures. And right now, my wife and I combined are making under $50,000.
Okay. So your question
and
is,
so do I leave a job where the boss and, you know, the environment is so great and I love it, to do something I, you know, maybe don't love as much, but it pays more?
Well, I want to know more about the current job. Is it that you love the environment only and it makes the job really nice, or do you really love the work and the environment's an amazing bonus?
The job, it's good. It's hands-on, but I'm a very hands-on person, like to be outdoors, and the job that I'd be going to is in an office and whatnot.
I know, but you didn't really answer my question. I think you did. You tried to. I'm saying, do you love the work that you're doing now? Is that the kind of thing you want to continue to do but grow? Or do you just love the environment so much that, you know what I'm saying?
I think it's more the environment. It's definitely not my dream job.
Okay, so then now that changes the entire conversation. Because it's not on mission. It's not on the path to your dream job, is it? The current job. Okay, so that means the family job isn't either, correct?
Right.
Okay.
And one important factor within, if I take this new job, I would be a business partner in the company and a projection to sell the company in 4 to 5 years would allow me to retire.
Okay, so you take the family job. Here's why. the current job you have, while they're a close-knit group and it's a wonderful environment, it's not on the ladder to your dream job. We established that. It's not on the ladder. It is a really nice day job. Is that still true? Am I understanding correctly?
Yeah.
Okay, good. The family-owned business is also not on the ladder to your dream job, but it is a much better paying day job with an opportunity to cash out. And instead of retiring, you could actually fund very easily the journey to actually do what you would love to do, the dream job. Am I right on that scenario?
Yes. My problem is I don't know what that would be.
I don't care. You're in a day job now, and you can take a day job that's going to pay you double and give you an exit strategy, and you keep listening to the Ken Coleman Show, and you take the assessment that is coming out in about a week and a half to 2 weeks, and then you can call my show back after you take my assessment, which will help you figure out the dream job, and then we'll walk through it. But you can figure that out while you're making a whole lot more money and setting yourself up for an unbelievable financial future. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
John, take the job with the family, man. It's a great step, okay?
Okay.
Now listen,
yeah.
I don't believe you that you don't know what you want to do. I think you actually have an idea, but you're afraid to say it. Is that true or false?
True. I don't think I could make a living.
Stop. You just told me you won't have to make a living doing it because you're going to cash out. Am I right?
Which is why I haven't pursued this.
John, stop. I love you, bro. I've already helped you with your next move. I need you to reveal your heart. What's the dream job, John, that you don't think you can make a living at, but you may not have to because you're going to cash out of the family business? John, what is the dream?
I want to be a wildlife photographer.
Okay. How hard was that, John, to say that? It was really hard, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Why? Why was it so hard? Are you afraid that your friends and family are going to make fun of that? Tell the truth.
I think they're very supportive and they think I should pursue it, but...
But what?
Especially nowadays, everybody and their dog's a photographer and...
Yeah, stop. You don't need to go to school to learn how to take a picture of a deer. What you need to do is get on YouTube and start watching all the free stuff that's out there on cameras and lighting and start paying attention, do your own research, read books about photography, listen to podcasts about photography, and then start shooting pictures. And oh, by the way, you can do that on nights and weekends and just start trying it and putting stuff up on Instagram and wherever else and Facebook and see if people like your photography and get better at it. Oh, by the way, we've already taken care of finances and funding the dream because you're going to get a raise and you might cash out when the family business sells in 4 or 5 years. John, this is setting up beautifully for you, brother. Listen to me. Here's your homework assignment. A, I want you to take the job with the family today before the sun goes down. B, I want you to start watching photography channels on YouTube, subscribe to at least one photography podcast, buy one photography book. That's your homework assignment. I want you to start consuming it and learning about the ins and outs of being a really good photographer. And then I want you to actually go out and start shooting wildlife and posting and showing your work. Do you understand your homework assignment, John?
Yes.
All right, buddy. You got this, but you've got to put yourself out there. And I'm really excited for you. I'm really proud of you. Great, great opportunity with this family business, man. Take it and run, okay?
Okay.
All right, very good. Oh, well, you can hear doubt hanging off of John. Like a heavy metal jacket, Joe. Got to shake off the doubt. How do we do that? By actually looking into the thing that we doubt, trying the thing that we doubt, and in looking into it and trying it. It takes away all of the nasty fear. Hey, my time is almost up, but before I let you go, remember this. You matter, and you do have what it takes. Thanks for joining us. Until next time, this is the Ken Coleman Show. Press on.
Thanks for listening to the Ken Coleman Show. For more, you can find the show on demand wherever you listen to podcasts and watch the show on YouTube. You can also find Ken across all social media by following at Ken Coleman.
Hey, folks, I want to make sure you check out our other Ramsey Network podcasts like The Rachel Cruze Show.
Hey, guys, it's Rachel Cruze, and I'm so excited to tell you about my podcast. A lot of people are living paycheck to paycheck. They're in debt. They don't even know where to begin, but they have this need, this want to get in control of their money. And if that's you, you have come to the right spot. So in each episode, you're going to get a ton of inspiration and practical advice. If you've not subscribed to The Rachel Cruze Show podcast, make sure you do it today.
To hear full episodes, search Rachel Cruze wherever you listen to podcasts or go to rachelcruze.com.